I know fear. I know what it's like to be in a situation that rattles you to your core. Those situations when you fear for your life. Your mind runs free and your imagination takes over. Now, not your good imagination, but that pesky one. The one that conjures up the worst possible outcome. The one that tells you that the spider that you saw at work somehow ended up in your bed. Or that the airline steward did not properly seal the doors before takeoff. Your seatbelt is broken and your life float won't inflate. And even though you may be flying to Arkansas, somehow you're gonna end up over water. This is what we call irrational fears. These irrational fears come in many different shapes and sizes, from the small ones that you later laugh about with your friends, to the big ones that keep you doing certain things, keep you from certain experiences. Now, I also know rational fear, the fears that are based in a present reality, a near reality, the fear that comes with being confronted by an aggressive lunging dog, or a car speeding down the street as your kids are riding their bikes, the sound of a gunshot or a fire alarm. These fears are based on something that's within reach. So raise your hand if you're afraid of spiders. Dogs, snakes, clowns. Raise your hand if you're afraid of walking home late at night by yourself, being pulled over by the cops, heights. If you've experienced fear, which I bet we all have, you know that it can be debilitating, paralyzing, and mentally draining. Now, as the McLaurin family begins preparing ourselves for our move to Tennessee next week, I cannot help but think about the first time I moved to Jackson, Mississippi when I was 8 years old from Seattle. It was the height of tornado season, and being from Seattle, we only knew rain. We didn't know about the thunder that rumbled for hours, or the lightning that lit up the sky. And we definitely didn't know about tornadoes. Well, we definitely didn't know about the tornado sirens. Now, if you're from the South, you know that sound. It is one of the eeriest, unnerving sounds you will ever hear. And still to this day, when I hear that screech of the tornado sirens, I get nervous. It was about day two or three of us living in Jackson when a storm rolled through. My grandmother, who we were living with at the time, scurried about the house looking for flashlights and candles. We were told to stay away from the phone. She had this old school mentality, something about phones and lightning and shocking. I never quite understood it, but she said, stay away from the phones, so we did. And as we watched this dark, greenish storm cloud slowly approach our side of town, the wind was eerily calm. Then we heard it, the tornado siren. Now, the siren was about 20 yards from our house on a light pole, and it starts soft, but quickly picks up. And as it picked up, it seemed to summon the wind. Not knowing what was going on, my brother panicked, and he bolted out the front door. Exactly what you're not supposed to do. Now, he was my rock. My older brother was my courage, so I bolted out the door after him. And my grandmother followed. And as we were halfway down the street, we heard her scream, "Get back in the house!" Now, truth be told, that's not what she said. But what she actually said is not church appropriate. So we're going to stick with get back in the house. This storm, these green clouds, this tornado sirens, this was all new to us. This was outside of our reality. This whole scene just did not make sense to these two boys from Seattle. Now, in today's reading from the fourth chapter of Mark, we experience the fear of the disciples. At this point, they have already spent some time with Jesus on his preaching tour and healing around Galilee. They've witnessed him heal many, like Simon's mother-in-law, a leper, a paralytic. He schooled the crowds about Sabbath, and he began teaching in parables. The disciples at this point, they've gone through their orientation. Now, when evening came on one of these days, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." While they were in the water, I imagine they looked in the sky from the boat and saw those dense, dark, greenish clouds. And they knew what this meant. They knew what this meant because four of them were water people. Simon, Andrew, James, and John made their living on the water. And they knew what it meant to be in a boat during a storm. And a storm did come. A storm that beat and battered the boat and began flooding it with water. This was a rational fear. They were so afraid that they woke Jesus from his sleep and questioned him. Jesus woke up and rebuked the storm, and the winds immediately calmed. And although the text says, Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" I like to imagine that Jesus said, "Chill out, I got this." They were in great awe of Jesus' actions, and they knew that Jesus was working in a new reality, a reality that had been slowly revealed to them through the healings and wisdom, and now through nature. Jesus' power began to create a new understanding, which meant an abandoning of the old. Now, when hearing this story, I am very much on the side of the disciples. I am like the disciples. I want to follow Jesus. But sometimes that boat begins to rock, and the winds begin to blow, and the treacherous sea begins to overtake the nave of the boat. And all I could think to do is to scream out, "Jesus, wake up." And I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone because I've heard it myself. I've heard this fear and confusion from my children. I've heard it from some of your children. I've heard it from some of you. Most recently, I've heard it from the news and Twitter and Facebook. It was heard in the audio of a small child screaming, "Papa, Papa, I want my Papa," as they were separated from their parents after a long journey to cross the border. I've heard it on the news when I heard about Antoine Rose, young black teen shot 3 times in the back by Pittsburgh Police Department, died from because he was running because he was afraid. And these are only 2 stories. These are only 2 examples of the rough storms we are enduring that have us afraid and confused. Stories that remind us that we are not in control. These stories have us screaming louder and louder, "Wake up, Jesus. Do you not care?" But as Job discovers, we should be careful what questions we ask because we might not like the answer. In the passage from Job, we hear the response from God to Job's piercing question, "Why is all this happening? Why is all this happening to me?" At this point in the reading, Job has gone through some things. In a day, his flock was stolen, his servants were killed, his 10 children died in a storm, and he was inflicted with terrible sores. This righteous man lost everything. Now, I must admit, I considered avoiding Job. This book is one of the most problematic in all of the Bible for me. In another sermon or another form at another time, we should delve deeper into a deeper reading of Job, but now is not the time. But what we should not do is avoid it. We should not avoid this sacred wisdom text. We must probe it to hear what it has to say. But in God's response to Job, which goes on for three chapters, we are reminded of our limited knowledge, our limited control. We are reminded that the world works outside of our limited reality. Now, on the surface, this stinks. Who wants to feel powerless? Who likes feeling like we are not in control? But I hate to tell you, we are not in control. But this does not mean that we are powerless. This does not mean we are supposed to sit back and let the storms overtake us. As followers of Jesus, we know that when we ask these questions, there is a question returned back to us. Will you follow me? Will you trust that my way is the way? This is to say, you may not ever fully understand what all is happening, but will you follow me anyway? Our call was summed up beautifully last week by Presiding Bishop Curry as he stood right up here and he said, love God, love your neighbor, and while you're at it, love yourself. When we do this, when we really live into the way of love, the world around us begins to change. And this love, this radical and revolutionary love, calls us to do many things. It calls us to march for immigrants and those seeking refuge. It calls us to boldly proclaim Black Lives Matter. It calls us to believe our enemies are also worthy of God's love. It calls us to endure storms because the storms will come. To seek and serve Christ in all persons, to respect the dignity of every human being, and to strive for justice and peace. And this is where our power lies. This is a place we are in total control. The power of this love is infectious. And when experienced, everything it touches can and will be transformed. Amen.